Our first scripture reading today is from Leviticus chapter 8, verses 22 and 23, and then 33 through 35. You'll find that on page 165 in your pew Bibles. Moses then presented the other ram, the ram for the ordination, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on its head. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for your ordination will last 7 days. What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. You must stay at the entrance to the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires, so you will not die, for that is what I have been commanded. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading is from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. Little background on this verse. This is one of the few sections in Leviticus that is actually a narrative. Most of Leviticus is God telling them, this is what you do. You do this first, then you do this, then you do this. This is actually one of the few stories that is presented in the book of Leviticus. And it's a heavy one, so get prepared here. Aaron's son Nadab, and it's on page 167 in your pew Bibles. Aaron's son Nadab and Abihu took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire. That's very important. Unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord, consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses said, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Moses summoned Michel and Ethan, the sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzal, said to them, come here. Carry your cousins outside the camp away from the front of the sanctuary. And so they came and carried them still in their tunics outside the camp as Moses had ordered. Then Moses and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt. Do not tear your clothes or you will die. And the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But your relatives, all the mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting, or you will. The Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. Let us pray. Gracious and we ask that you would help us to understand what the word of the God of the Lord through Leviticus is trying to say, what you are trying to say to us today. Lord, help us to take our calling seriously and how we may be set apart to your bidding through our gifts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week I gave you all a primer on why I would ever think about doing a sermon series on the book of Leviticus. I talked to you about why Leviticus is trying to get at with all of these rituals, the purpose being to refocus our lives around God, to realize there's not a minute that passes who we belong and who we are to serve. It's all about proper relationship with God and neighbor. If we live it out through these rituals that we are reminded each and every day, we won't forget that we are called to love God, to love our neighbor. We are God's good plan for all creation. We're bringing the Lord's Prayer into reality, right? Thy kingdom come. We're making it a reality. And Now this I understand. God has intention for how we're to live, and this is God is providing us a way in which to do it. But where I struggle with Leviticus, and we heard this in our reading today, all of its grisly details, how petty it makes God. Leviticus, when you're going through it, feels like some kind of overbearing instruction manual about how to get on God's good side. So much of it reads like God is saying, you are to follow this exactly as, or else bad things will happen to you. Henry got some new Lego sets for his birthday last weekend. And we celebrated his birthday not just a day, but a season, I feel like, at this point. And we got several new Lego sets, some big ones, some little Lego sets. And he was very anxious to say, Daddy, let's put these bad boys together. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And I during that whole process of him at these instructions, looking for the pieces, I immediately, as I was, did you look at the instruction? Is that the right piece? Is that where that's supposed to go? Did you look, Henry, at the instructions? Are you looking? Are you looking? And I had this flash. Oh my gosh, I'm Leviticus. Oh my gosh. Did you read the book? Are you following the ritual just as I told you to follow it? Is that piece supposed to go there? Look again. Leviticus feels like this at times. I think, why does God care about the fat that slaughtered animals? Why does he care that part and burn that separately? Why does God care exactly what goes into a burnt offering? Is it really that important? Isn't it about the intention rather than the self? If Leviticus was a person, you think God is being petty with all these rituals? One who is naive. The task, even humanity, is to live out God's plan for all creation. And if you don't think that bringing that plan into life is serious business, then you too will suffer the consequences. This isn't kids' play. It's not tales for adults. This is how God enters the world. And if you think that is deathly serious and risky, then you might be in the wrong profession. You see, for Leviticus, these rituals are how God actually comes into the world. And I think about that for us Presbyterians, because we have a hard time with all these rules and things, and none of the rituals in the book of Leviticus resemble anything that we really do anymore, right? But what did we do this morning? We baptized little George, right? And we do that, right? Because that is a way in which we realize God is working in our lives. We place that water on George's head and we go, this is a way in which we are reminded of how God is working. And that is to be taken seriously. That is not to be messed around with, right? That is serious business because God is working through it. And Leviticus even takes it a step further because they're like, if you don't follow this plan, if you don't follow these rituals, if you don't enact them every day in your life, chaos and sin are going to take over. And the priests, who this whole section is about, they had that weight on their shoulders. They are the ones to be teaching. They are the ones to be making sure everything is being followed as it says. So that's why we get to chapter 8, and the sons of Aaron are going through, they had already gone through the establishment of becoming priests. Their ordination lasted 7 days, 7 being the godly number, the day. And every day, Aaron and Moses performed the same for the soon-to-be priests. They washed their bodies. They put on the priestly vestments. They put on a turban. They anointed them with oil. Sacrificed two lambs. They took some of the blood and dabbed vestments, and they put it on their bodies. Remember that? The earlobe, the thumb, the big toe. Why did they go through all of this? By the way, okay, so let's clarify. Each of these rituals that I just went through, they did that every day for 7 days. Okay? They were in a tent and they slaughtered another animal. They went through the process. They did that every day for 7 days. And all of Israel was hanging out watching this happen. 7 days. Do you know how long it took me to get ordained in the Presbyterian Church? Do you want to take a shot? 1 hour. 1 hour. And I didn't get any blood put on my earlobe or thumb or toe, right? Which, right, represents the whole body. Get that? That's the furthest extremities on your body. Big toe, big thumb, right? Your earlobe represent the whole body. God consecrating you for the body. Listen, hand served, foot, go forward, serve the Lord with the whole body, right? This ordination process was so intense because it was supposed to be a resurrection. The sons of Aaron were being set apart. This wasn't something to be taken lightly. They're going to be in that tent for 7 days. They're going to go in one kind of person and they're going to walk out a whole different kind of person. Set apart for God's purpose. Set apart to serve God and the community. So if you go through this whole process, this intense process of ordination, you better take it seriously. And because this God and God's order that we're dealing with, this was not to be taken lightly or without intention. Almost the minute after the sons of Aaron became priests, a couple of the sons offered what is described in Leviticus as an unauthorized fire. Now, nobody knows what that means. The Bible, Leviticus, doesn't go in any more specific details. We don't know if they went and sacrificed at the wrong type of day, if it was the wrong kind of animal. We don't know. Whatever it was not as God commanded. And these two priests, like something out of Indiana Jones and the first one, right, when they opened the covenant, right, they were consumed by fire. And they died right there at the tent. Now, I don't know if this was some kind of scare tactic on God's part. You know, you're a boss, right? And you've got a new office, and you got one person behaving not that bad, but kind of poorly, and they need to be made an example of so the rest of your staff doesn't get out of line. You know, you wonder if that's what God was doing. All these, let's get these, strike these two down, and then so all the other rest of the priests go, oh, God's serious. We had to drag those guys out of here. Let's not have that happen to us, right? Right? But I think really what is happening here is that this story speaks to the seriousness in which we need to approach our calling and ministry. Not doing so in our lives, we have to recognize we'll have consequences. Now, maybe we're not going to be consumed by fire, but there is always fallout when you follow the path of chaos and sin, when you ignore God's intention for your life. Because make no about it, each of us has been set apart by God, set apart to fulfill our neighbor, to bring love to hate and brokenness, to lift up the poor. And this is not to be taken lightly with indifference. We are here to help make God's plan for this world a reality. You may ignore it. You may not believe it. You may think it's not on you to do it. But that is foolish. Each of you has been set apart. You have some holiness to bring to this world. And this is a serious calling, one that is risky because it asks you to be recreated in the holiness of God. And this is really important. And I have a hard time living into this because I have a lot of just, I want to do what I want to do, man. And yet God says, no, you have been set apart. You have a task. Now you may mess up. You may not follow it every time the right way or go forward with it the way you're supposed to, but you should be living your life with a seriousness that you have been called to by God. And if we don't see that as a serious calling, we need to take a step back and look in the mirror and see why. Why are we not dedicating more of our lives to serving, to bringing, to lifting up those in need? And why are we not risking more to do it? Whether we like it or not, we as Christians are the bridge between God and the world. As Paul said it, we are ambassadors for Christ. We need to recognize that we have some holiness to bring. Each of you has holiness to bring. Take that seriously. Look for it in your life. See those places in which you can act to bring holiness to a world that is broken and filled with chaos. Let us strive to make the world more like God's kingdom, a more loving and holy place. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.